TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. This is part two of a global survey of community currencies, grassroots credit clearing, and regional mutual aid systems. These are creative attempts to fill a role that the current monopoly system of bank money not only fails to fill but often undermines. Bernard Liotard is a former central banker and fund manager turned university professor, and the Irish journalist Jackie Dunn is CEO of an enterprise that gives advice how to restore the earth. Published in 2013, their book, Rethinking Money, is the most up-to-date international overview over complementary currencies and alternative systems of credit. The real-life projects that they describe fall roughly into two categories: exchange systems that renew social bonds while helping individuals and neighborhoods to manage their needs for help, food, local trade, healthcare, and education, and larger regional credit clearing and exchange systems that can actually create permanent jobs and substantial infrastructure like farms, gardens, and parks, housing, and public utilities. Among the 4,000 new currencies and credit systems in use today are several that have already been active and strong for decades, even up to 80 years, as in the case of the Vier Bank, founded in Switzerland in 1934. It's a business-to-business credit clearing system. And then there's history. Liotard and Dunn write that complementary currencies and trading systems have existed in many places for hundreds and even thousand plus years, as for example in Bali. It was once considered normal that two currencies were in use at the same time, one for long-distance trade and another for local exchanges, specific to the needs and desires of a given community. The advent of a global system of finance and commerce put dual pressure on these local creations. The new private bank monies, masquerading as state or federal currency, were made to seem like the only legitimate exchange system. And the central banks and governments in many cases outlawed local currencies. For example, during the Depression, very strong and successful local exchange systems were made illegal in Austria, Germany, in the US, and other countries. For instance, in Bali, the World Bank withheld funds until a 1,000-year-old cooperative currency system of rice growing and water allocation was destroyed. Here are just a few of the exchange systems that Liotard and Dunn mention in their book, Rethinking Money. LETS stands for Local Exchange and Trading System, founded in Canada in 1983 in response to a wave of unemployment. Their networks use interest-free local credit for barter among the members. For instance, a member may earn credit for doing gardening for one person and spend it later on carpentry with another person in the same network. In LETS, no paper scrip is issued, and transactions are recorded in a central location, open to all members. Less than 10 years later, the economist Edgar Kahn initiated one of today's most rapidly expanding systems, time dollars. Time banking uses units of time as currency and is primarily used to provide incentives and rewards for community service, such as mentoring children, caring for the elderly, building or restoring houses, and improving the neighborhood. In 1991, a retired Supreme Court judge in Japan picked up the idea of a time-based exchange in the service of elder care. He laid the groundwork for the Furya Kipu, which translates into caring relationship ticket. The goal is to provide elders and disabled people with the services not covered by the Japanese National Health Program. Those who shop, clean house, or help bathe, or read for the elders earn credits in time that they can use immediately or save for the future or transfer to benefit parents or relatives in another part of the country. As of the writing of the book, Rethinking Money, 387 Furya Kipu systems operated in Japan, and they are beginning to be adopted abroad. For the Japanese government, this service, that required no state funding, is a huge money saver. Elders receiving Furya Kipu care are able to live longer independently in their homes and place fewer demands on expensive nursing care. The Chiemgauer of southern Germany was created in 2003 by six young women and their teacher at a Rudolf Steiner school in Bavaria. Their goal was to support local small businesses against chain stores and to create employment. In 2012, the Chiemgauer had 600-plus participating businesses and created a very impressive over 6 million euros worth of exchanges of goods and services in 2011. The famous 80-year-old Wirbank in Switzerland came out of the financial crisis of the 1930s and was founded in 1934 by two businessmen who lost their line of credit with their banks and were facing bankruptcy. Business A needed the bank loan to buy goods from Business B, which in turn needed money to buy materials from its suppliers. They realized that they did not really need the bank as a go-between if they could create a mutual credit clearing system in which they dealt directly with their suppliers and customers. In 2012, some 60,000 businesses were members. The Wirbank now employs 205 people at its headquarters and has 7 regional offices. In 1934, private banks in Switzerland fought hard to prevent the opening of the Wirbank. Had they succeeded in outlawing the bank, Switzerland might look different today. That's according to Professor James Stodder at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. His research shows that Switzerland's legendary economic stability and employment security is due in good part to the counter-cyclical effects of the Wir. There's a photo in the book Rethinking Money taken in an immigrant part of Ghent, the fourth largest city in Belgium. This is a poor area with squalid high-rise homes, crime, and unemployment. The photo shows an open space that is now home to row after row of community garden plots. Bernard Liotard had been asked by the city administrators to suggest a solution to the urban decay and sense of desolation in that part of town. He began by doing a survey, asking the residents what they most wished to see. A small plot of land to raise vegetables and flowers was the top vote-getter. Liotard then asked the city of Ghent to make available an abandoned piece of land and to issue a local currency. The turukas are paid for work to beautify the neighborhood, plant trees, clean up after sports events, over 500 services in all. The garden plots can only be rented with turukas. But this community currency also pays for rides on buses, buys green products like compact fluorescent light bulbs, or special offers of healthy food. The local currency can even be converted into euros at the city office. Within the last 30 years, credit clearing systems have grown in scale, and Bernard Liotard, at a workshop in Petaluma in March 2013, described the very recent 3C system. He appreciates and recommends it in large part because it provides support for small businesses. Here's Bernard Leotard.
How many of you have experience in small businesses? Wow, this is an enlightened small business community. Let me tell you the problem that you know. It's called cash flow, right? I see a couple of nodding. Why? As a small business, if you buy something from a big company, say IBM, a computer, you're going to pay cash, or you're going to pay 30 days if you're very lucky. If you sell something to them, there's 0% chance that they'll pay you cash, and you're lucky if they pay you 90 days, right? So when you try to grow, you need to put more and more capital in. Or you go to a bank, and the bank will tell you predictably, you're too small to be interesting. Okay? Or they have a product called factoring that will cost you 10 or 20% of your invoice. There is a solution. And let me emphasize, small and medium-sized business equals jobs. 80% of all private jobs are held or maintained by small businesses. The media invariably talk about the big ones. When General Motors gets in trouble, boom, 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 5,000 jobs lost at 10,000, that's all over the page. But when there are 10,000 small businesses disappearing with 100,000 jobs disappearing, you don't see notice about it. So if you want to address the job issue, and I believe America, this has become a critical issue, that's the solution that you need to look at. And what I'm going to present to you is the solution that initially was developed in Brazil and Uruguay, which is working. The software is available in open source, so you can start tomorrow morning if you want. Here's how it works. Let's assume that I am a small business. Let's assume that you are obviously IBM, I mean, a big player, right? You are one of the suppliers to him. So here's how it works. I have an invoice that I have issued to IBM for $100,000. They said, okay, we'll pay you in 90 days. I take that invoice. I have it insured by an insurance company. The cost of an insurance of that type in Uruguay is 1%. Why so little? Because the likelihood of IBM going bankrupt in 90 days is literally zero. Right? Fine. So that insured invoice, what will it mean is if he doesn't pay me in 90 days, the insurance company will, and go after him. But an insured invoice, I introduce it in an electronic network. And I get immediately 100,000 C3 units. C3 stands for commercial credit circuits in English. With this 100,000 C3 units, I go to my supplier and I say, I owe you $50,000. I'm going to pay you now 50,000 C3s, or you wait 90 days and I get you for dollars. Say, well, you know, I like to get paid now. What the hell do I do with the C3, right? And here's the answer. We have an agreement with the bank. You can get out and get dollars now, for example, to pay your taxes. However, you pay the interest for the 90 days or whatever the amount of time will be outstanding, plus the banking fees. That's your problem. Or you look for one of your suppliers and tell the same story. So the stuff spreads around. That is a way of injecting working capital into small businesses at a very low cost. The only cost in there is 1% for the initiator. He or she on the small business is the one who decides the timing and the amounts, which is something that doesn't happen normally. When you go to a bank, they don't tell you, you know, when you get it and how much they decide that for you. And with that, you actually don't distort the market, okay? Because if you try to buy subsidies to small businesses, that's hopeless, because you're going to create all kinds of businesses that don't exist, that are not viable. These are businesses that have issued a viable invoice approved by my friend Sergio. You know, nobody will question that, right? So there we go. So that's the system. Anybody can always get out to a bank and get to normal money. In Uruguay, they also accepted in payment of taxes. Okay? So why can they do that? for the simple reason that this is actually the C3s are guaranteed to become national money in 90 days. Once you have a large network, and this network, the power of this network is that it expands by the client pushing the supplier to come in. It cannot fail unless the insurance company also fails, right? So the rating of the quality of the C3 unit is actually the quality of the insurance company. So look for a double A or something. When the bank is approached by one of the other players, it doesn't look at the other player. It gets the C3 units backed by the insured invoice. So the bank has an insurance that this, you know, this will be paid in 90 days or 80 days or 70 days or 50 days, whatever it will be remaining by then. It has that as a backing. So it will also look at just the process of what is the quality of the insurance company. And very often, the bank owns the insurance company. So they're not really getting out of them. And the system is being paid. The cost for the system, you charge it at the moment of the exit. You want to discourage exit. Okay, if the bank charges 5%, you charge 6. You know, 6 total, one extra. And this 1% pays for the whole thing. It's the people leaving the system that pay for it. Let me tell you how the big ones finance themselves. That way. This is not new, and it happens all over the world. Eh?
That was the former central banker Bernard Liotard from Belgium. He's a fellow at the Center for Sustainable Resources at the University of California, Berkeley. He ended his presentation with an appeal to take the current crisis seriously and to go beyond ideology and its past confrontations.
The communist system, the Soviet system, used the same money system as America. The only difference was the banks were owned by the government. In the capitalist system, the governments own the banks only when they're in trouble. Right? But it's the same system. We have the Cold War behind us. The Cold War was about two ways of organizing the industrial age. Control, market. It's the patriarchal system, which is now dying. For the first time since the 13th century, women are more educated than men. So it's quite predictable that we're going to be in another system, and it's already there. And we're not talking just about women, by the way. We're talking about value systems. Right? We're talking about value for the feminine versus the masculine. That's really what matters. Now, we are at the point where I think we're going to have to break through to a planetary wisdom civilization, or we're going to regress to a level that we don't want to be here. The CIA study in 2010 has concluded that in 20 years, 75% of humanity will disappear. That will be the logic, 75%. We're going to drop down to less than 2 billion. Okay? They know more than I do, right? About the normal world, quote unquote. They don't have
natural
to do
disasters,
it.
Natural disasters.
No, it's going to be resource wars, water wars, and a little nuclear war between India and Pakistan would get you there rather quickly, you know? That's the kind of stuff. So in the normal way of thinking, where power games will be the way of getting out of the mess, with the kind of climate change that we're preparing, it's going to be very messy. So that's what they claim. I refuse to believe this. But that's why I'm standing here. I say there is another way. We have the capacity to break through. And one of the key tools that we claim, we will not make it if you keep believing that we need to do everything with a single currency of the type that we have now. Sustainability is unthinkable unless we rethink money. We need to get out of that box. I'm not claiming it's enough. It's a necessary condition, not a sufficient one. Okay? That's
what we all want.
That's what we want. A new balance between masculine and feminine energy that actually creates a biosphere on this planet and protects it.
Bernard Liotard then responded to a question how to get things started. Here's what he had to say.
Let me give you one rule of thumb that it has appeared in several of the systems. For example, the Toruku system. Use pull rather than push. The dream of the garden. My own dream. And if you create a bridge between what the city in Ghent or whatever the entity is, wants to achieve, make a bridge between what the dreams are, what the people want, and what you want to achieve. That's the link. So the first step would be make a survey of what people really want, and then create that bridge. Now, this country needs urgently C3 units. And the joblessness is getting pretty desperately serious. The problem of students leaving university with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and no job is criminal. It needs to be solved. The conventional system hasn't done it, has pushed them down. So we can do something about that. We need to create jobs for these people quickly, massively. C3s will do that. So this is what I would say the priorities are. There's one other one that I haven't mentioned here, which is healthcare. My claim is that no country in the world has a healthcare system. They have a medical care system. Now, in a medical care system, what are the incentives? It's very simple. You need to have people sick and alive. If you're not sick and not alive, you're not interesting. Okay? So this is a machine to keep sick people alive. It is not about creating health. So what is the solution? It's being implemented, as Jackie mentioned, in Ireland this year. It's called wellness tokens. Creating new habits. Well, you would have tokens, health, wellness tokens, for healthy habits. Okay? For losing pounds when you're overweight. Because we know statistically what the probability of a heart attack or diabetes and all that stuff that relates to that. For healthy activities, for healthy food, you give tokens for that. You need an alliance, a wellness alliance, and in Ireland it's already being created now, where actually the organizations, and that includes the government, and includes corporations, who are actually end up paying for the diseases that are being generated in the current system. So they are the ones who will make the savings. They would organize the system and redeem the tokens. But if I earn the tokens, what can I do with them? I can have other healthy products, healthy services, preventive medicine, preventive activities, gyms, stuff like that. People can then redeem them with the Wellness Alliance for a fraction of the savings that are generated by having a more healthy process. So it's a statistical thing. So that's one example of what I believe this country needs. The wellness token and C3s. What we are talking about is actually the need for a monetary ecosystem, right? Systems at different scales, all the way from a global level to your neighborhood level with everything in between. Okay, and it's not just geographical. It could be non-local communities. It could be network communities. It could be interest communities. So that is what is needed.
And Bernard Leotard concluded with a surprising dream forward into 2400, when maybe, just maybe, money of any form will no longer be needed.
By the way, my perfect yin currency is the gift. When you get to a certain point where community is strong enough that you don't need currency, that's a breakthrough. And a good example for that has happened in Tacoma Park in, near DC. Where they had used 3 years of currency, and afterwards they got rid of it because they don't need it anymore. Everybody knows what they're doing, what they like doing. Everybody contributes. There are no people who try to pull out more than they can give. And they're ready to reintroduce it. If some new people come into the community and start abusing it, let's reintroduce the currency. The same thing happened in Bali. Yeah? In Bali, we have a system for now 1,200 years. In Bali today, there are 3,000 complementary currency systems. Every banyar has one. And the system is, let's not use a currency unless there is an abuse. I say there's a complaint, then we reintroduce the currency. The system is ready to go, okay? But we don't need to use it all the time. We just need it when there is some people who are not getting the point anymore. So I'm considering this field of complementary currency as an education tool. Okay? And the future goes back to Star Trek with Picard. You know, I says in 2400, we don't have money. They don't have conventional money, and they don't have complementary money. Everybody does what they're passionate about. Everything gets done for developing their own person and their community, and it works. That's the future. But to get there, we need to rebuild the muscles that have been atrophied by 5,000 years of a monopoly of a young currency.
How much does this thing cost?
The economics of the future are somewhat different. You see, money doesn't exist in the 24th century.
No money? You mean you don't get paid?
The acquisition of wealth is no longer the driving force in our lives. We work to better ourselves and the rest of humanity.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek's First Contact. That was part two of a one-hour program on Rethinking Money, a book by Bernard Liotard and Jackie Dunn. Liotard is former banker with the Belgian Central Bank, fund manager, and now university professor. His co-author is the Irish journalist Jackie Dunn. Published in 2013, the book is the most up-to-date international overview over complementary currencies and alternative systems of credit. This program was recorded on March 4, 2013, in Petaluma, California. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. TUC Radio has moved to Northern California. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. You can get information on how to order a CD at cost of the one-hour program on Rethinking Money by calling 1-707-463-2654, and I will repeat that number in a moment. You can also place an order on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation on TUC's website keeps this program on the air. That's tucradio.org or 707-463-2654 for more information. My name is Maria Gilardin. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.